blessed word. We ask, Lord, that our hearts be open tonight to receive from you in Jesus' name. So tonight, I'm starting on what I call a prosperity series. We'll start tonight on what the Bible says to the poor. Because one of the things about prosperity is that people start in prosperity by, first of all, seeing where they were, seeing what they are. They're spiritually poor, they're poor in physical things and so on. They're under the curse, and then they come under the blessing of God. So what we're going to look at tonight, and I want to do a few sermons related to prosperity, just like we've been looking at healing, because, you know, as there's healing miracles, there's also prosperity miracles. And I know that for a fact. Over the last few years in particular, there's been all types of prosperity type miracles, and I am believing for greater in that area and in this church as well, for all of us. So the first thing that we have to get into our hearts and minds is, what does the Bible say about poverty? Is poverty good? Is poverty good? Well, let's have a look at a few scriptures. Psalm 37 verse 14. Psalm 37 verse 14. You know, there's some people that say, well, poverty must be good because the scripture says, blessed are the poor. Of course, they miss out, and we'll look at that scripture later, they miss out on the second half of the scripture, which says, for theirs is the kingdom of, for yours is the kingdom of God. So the poverty, or the fact that they're poor, is not where the blessing is. The fact that they have the kingdom of God, and we're talking about believing people have the kingdom of God, that's where the blessing comes into it. And we'll look more into detail as we go into this. Psalm 37 and verse 14, you'll notice what it says here. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow. To cast down the poor and needy, and slay such as be of upright conversation. So we see the poor and needy are in a cast down position. They're not in a blessed position, they're in a cast down position. And of course, you see that the wicked find that the poor and needy are easy to victimise. Here we see the wicked cast down the poor and needy. And so we've got to see, therefore, that the poor and needy are not in a blessed position there. Look over at Proverbs 14, verses 20 and 21. Proverbs 14, 20 and 21. It says, the poor is hated even of his own neighbour, but the rich hath many friends. He that despiseth his neighbour sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. So we see that there is hatred directed to the poor. And it says the poor is hated even of his own neighbour. And the Bible directs believers in Christ, believers, to have mercy on the poor. And of course that means that there is to be shown provision to the poor. We know how Jesus talked about clothing people and giving them something to eat and so on. So the mercy to the poor is that they have provision given to them, as you can understand there. In the book of James, it talks about it's no use just saying go and be filled, but you have to show by your faith that you're doing something about their lack or neediness. So you see, the poor are not in a good position and do need the mercy of God. Can you see that? They need the mercy of God. They're hated and despised, as we see here. They're not in a good position at all. Look also at Proverbs 10, verse 15. Go over to that. Proverbs 10, verse 15. We're looking at what the Bible says to the poor. You know, there's been doctrines over the centuries that poverty is somehow a blessing, but prosperity or increase is not. And that is exactly the opposite to what the scriptures say. Of course, we are instructed not to be covetous and not to be idolatrous about wealth and riches and so on. But we are never instructed in the Bible, because the Bible says he gives his people power to get wealth. We're never instructed in the Bible not to have riches and not to have wealth and not to have prosperity. In fact, John in 3 John 2 says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. So it's God's will for us to prosper. Now, looking at Proverbs 10 verse 15, we see here the rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. So it connects very clearly there, poverty with destruction. Poverty with destruction. Now, these are just, really, it's common sense. But it's something that when you look at the poor, you shouldn't be saying, well, I'm looking at something that's blessed. Or if you're looking at poverty, oh, that's a blessed state. That's a twisted mindset to have that. And what we see here very clearly says the destruction of the poor is their poverty. Okay. Now let's connect that with redemption. Redemption has been provided by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law. And if you look at Psalm 103, what does it say about redemption from destruction? Remember, the destruction of the poor is their poverty. So if you look at Psalm 103, verses 2 to 4, you'll see very clearly here that in redemption is where the Lord will lift you up or take you out of destruction, and that by default would obviously include poverty. Now we know that very clearly Jesus became a curse for us, and in Psalm 103 we see a clear instruction here, a clear set of words which is talking about what the Lord has done. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. There's benefits to us. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. So when it says who redeemeth thy life from destruction, would that include poverty, according to Proverbs 10 verse 15? Well, yes, clearly it would, because the destruction of the poor is their poverty. So he redeems our life from destruction. So my life is redeemed from poverty as well. But you see, you've got to believe this. If you don't believe it, or you think it's wrong to be rich or prosperous in the Lord, now remember, we love the Lord, we see him as our source, we see him as our, he is the God of increase, the Bible tells us. He is our Lord, not money. The love of money is the root of all evil, the Bible says. The love of money, remember. So our love is in the Lord. All right? So we hold to the Lord. We look to him. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And we have to see that salvation covers the whole man. And I've talked about this as the full gospel. The full gospel is the whole man, spirit, soul and body, all our life. Anything that sin has that is related to the curse, and we could go, we don't have enough time tonight, but we could go to Deuteronomy 28 where it lists the curse of the law, and we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, and in that list you'll find that there's poverty. It talks about planting vineyards and planting crops and not being able to eat them and the crops being destroyed. It talks about being stolen from and all that type of thing. So poverty is a destructive thing. We have to understand that. And so when you come to the poor, you know, they've heard so much from churches, particularly the Romanist church, which has said it's good to be poor, but bad to be rich. And so we shouldn't go after that, riches, because you get into covetousness. You see, that's not the case. If you're a godly, righteous person, you can increase in all aspects of your life, including in wealth. That's why he gives us power to get wealth, to establish his covenant. Okay, we become channels of blessing, and we can show mercy to the poor as well. Look also at James 2, verse 6, and you see another reason why poverty is not good. So the poor have to understand that they're in a cursed state. If they understand that, then what they also have to understand is, now I have to look to the Lord. Now I have to look to the Lord. What is the case today on the planet Earth is many of those who are poor do not look to the Lord. They look to man, they look to charities, they look to handouts, they look to all types of things other than the Lord. But we'll see in a minute that we are, and the poor especially, are to look to the Lord. In fact, all of us are to look to the Lord. James 2 verse 6, once again an indication that poverty is not good. But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Obviously talking about the wicked rich here. The poor are despised. Is that a blessed position? Not at all. The Bible talks about us having the favour of the Lord upon us. And the poor are oppressed. Now we could relate that to another scripture in the book of Acts where it says Jesus went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So oppression is all a part of redemption. Coming out of oppression is part of redemption. And oppression is part of the curse. So we should understand this, that the poor are not in a good position. They're not in a good position. We could also, we won't do it tonight, but we could also look at the parable of the prodigal son. And you'll remember that the father gave him his inheritance and he went out, and the Bible says he wasted it. He wasted it all and squandered it. And he got to such a poor level that he was even eating the pig slop, or that which the pigs or the swine were being fed. Now, that's not a good situation. And if you read it in Luke 15, we won't turn to it tonight, but if you read it, what was he doing? The Bible says he came to himself and he realized he wasn't in a good position. And so what did he do? He went back to the Father, didn't he? He went to the Father and he said, well, the Father treats his servants well, so I'll go back and see if I can be a servant. Of course, the Father there is a type or example of our Heavenly Father, and we can go to our Heavenly Father. He doesn't want us to be in poverty and lack, and if we turn to him, remember, the poor should turn to him. Have a look at Matthew 11 verse 5, because the Bible is very clear that the poor are to be raised up, and we're talking now about the believing poor, that is, those who come into a belief in the Lord, in a belief in the gospel, a belief in Christ. They're to be raised up, not to stay in a despised, hated, oppressed position, cursed position. this is why I said, you know, there's poor all over the earth, but the vast majority of them are not looking to the Lord and not believing the gospel. So what's the solution? The solution is for the gospel to be preached to them. And Matthew 11 verse 5 is very clear about that, and there's other scriptures we'll look at as well. Matthew 11 verse 5. And notice what it says here. It says, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now, you have a look at everything that's spoken of here. The blind. Now, being blind, is that a good thing? No, because then it says they receive their sight. Being lame or not able to walk properly, is that a good thing? No, because it says the lame walk. So what's the solution to their lameness? They walk. What's the solution to blindness? They see. Okay? And you see the lepers are cleansed. Is it good to be a leper? With leprosy? Obviously not. It's a cursed position. So what's the solution? They're cleansed. They're cleansed. The deaf hear. Is it good to stay deaf? Deafness is not a good thing. Okay? What's the solution? They hear. The dead are raised up. Well, obviously, death is not good. And here we see Jesus can even raise up the dead. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. So if you look at what's happened along here, talked about all these things are cursed, and we come to poor, oh, it's a blessing to be a poor. It's a blessing to stay poor. Is that what it's saying? No, the poor have the gospel preached to them. What's the gospel say? The gospel say Jesus was made a curse for you. He is your saviour. He'll lift you up. He'll take you out of being poor. He doesn't want you to remain in that condition. Now, of course, poor spiritually obviously is without the Lord. And when the gospel comes, you believe on the Lord and you become rich spiritually. Poor physically, obviously without, and there's some people that are without even the basic necessities. And so obviously the Lord wants to raise people up. Now, in Australia, some people might call themselves poor, but in fact they have a lot more than those in some other countries which have barely anything. Okay, so in some ways it can be a relative term. However, we know that God wants to raise up people, and he wants the gospel preached to the poor. Why would you preach the gospel to the poor unless it was going to do something for the poor to take them out of that destruction? Remember what we read before, the destruction of the poor is their poverty. All right. Let's have a look at Luke 4 verse 18. Now we've seen this scripture many times, and it's a wonderful testimony or statement of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He came as the Messiah, he came as the Saviour, and it's a wonderful statement here of what he's done. In Luke 4 verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord, and Jesus, this is Jesus speaking, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Okay? He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. So here we see that there's anointing upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and obviously anointing upon the body of Christ, because Jesus is the head of the body, head of the church, to preach the gospel to the poor. Not so that they stay poor, but that they come out of that destruction. Okay? They have to see that the Lord Jesus Christ became a curse for them and receive from him the prosperity that he gives. Notice it says, he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Does God want people to stay brokenhearted? Not at all. He wants them to be healed, as it says there, to preach deliverance to the captives. Now, poverty is a form of captivity. There's no doubt about that. Those that are in that type of captivity, are they able to do things that they would like to do? No, they're very much constrained. And a lot of them are in their thinking, they think they can never get out of it. That's why when the gospel is preached to the poor, they can have hope. They can have faith to be able to come out of that destructive poverty. So we see recovering of sight to the blind. Once again, God doesn't want people to stay blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Obviously, those that are bruised, those in need of healing, they need liberty. They need release. Praise the Lord. So The poor need to have the gospel preached to them. Now that's poor spiritually. In fact, it's poor right across the whole spectrum of man's experience. Poor spiritually, you don't have Christ, you don't have God. Well, the Bible says you're without hope. And that's a very poor state to be in. But obviously also, Jesus is talking about the poor physically as well. And there's many other scriptures we can go on. Let's have a look at Luke 6, verse 20. And you'll see here, there is blessing that God wants to give to those who are poor, not for them to stay poor, but for them to come out of it. And verse 20, notice what this is Jesus speaking again. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed be ye poor." Notice there's a colon after that. You don't just leave it as "blessed be ye poor." And some people will read that and say, "Blessed be ye poor because you're poor." Okay? That's a wrong way of looking at it. Notice what it really says. "Blessed be ye poor, for yours," yours is an ownership thing, isn't it? "For yours is the kingdom of God." Yours is the kingdom of God. So blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Where's the blessing? In them having the kingdom of God, isn't it? That's where the blessing is. In them having the kingdom of God. And in fact, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, the Bible says. Was Abraham rich? Very clearly so. You can read the book of Genesis and you'll find that the Bible says the Lord made him rich. Very rich and increased. But you see, the gospel of redemption to the poor, or redemption from the curse of the law, which includes that poverty, has not been preached in a wide extent, or to a wide extent. The full gospel, which includes this, coming out of all of the curse of sin, coming out of all of that curse, needs to be preached so that people say, okay, I don't have to be dependent on the government or on charity or on handouts or things like that. I can have faith and believe that God provides. God is my source. God provides deliverance for me. God has redeemed my life from destruction. Can you see what I'm saying here? So this is the type of preaching that has to come out. This is the type of things that the poor need to hear. They need to hear about the gospel of redemption from destruction. Okay? Their life is redeemed from destruction. So here we see, and let me just read this again in Luke 6 verse 20, because it's an important verse. If someone ever tried to tell you that poverty is a blessing, you say, no, come to this scripture, let's have a look at it. And blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And we know in the kingdom of God, we are children of Abraham, and the Bible says that Abraham was blessed in all things. Okay, so we are blessed with faithful Abraham, the Bible tells us. So we need to know the scriptures, don't we? We can't be people that are just listening to worldly things or wrong doctrines. We need to know the scriptures and what it says. Have a look at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8. Here's a very clear scripture about what the Lord desires to do for the poor. And it's a good one for us to know. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8. In Samuel 2, verse 8, it says, and talking about the Lord, "He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them." So if the poor are ever to come out of their poverty properly, what has to happen? They've got to look to the Lord to raise them up. As it says there, he raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill. And dunghill is a pretty filthy place, isn't it? And you may have seen pictures of little children sorting through rubbish tips and so on. Well, God desires for the poor to be lifted up out of that, raised up out of that. Can you see here that God's will is not for them to stay in this depressed, low, destructive and a place? God doesn't want that. In fact, the Bible says he leads his people into a wealthy place, a wealthy place. So what we're seeing here is poverty is not something that's good, and God's desire is that the poor be raised up. Look at Job 36, verse 15. Job 36, verse 15. I pray tonight you're starting to get an idea that A, poverty is not good, and B, God desires for people to come out of that to believe the gospel, because the gospel is preached to the poor, to believe the gospel and to be raised up. And you know, it just takes one step of faith to start going forward and coming out of poverty and into a blessed position. And of course, God wants his people to keep on increasing because he wants his people to finance the gospel on the earth. You know, it's not governments that are going to be financing the gospel on the earth, is it? It's going to be the Lord's people that will be financing the gospel on the earth. And it's the Lord's people as they are used of the Lord, as they are used to be givers. See, God wants to bless his people, and he can bless you by being a giver, by being a person who sows into the good ground of the gospel and so on. So we're looking at Job 36, verse 15. That's what it says here. He delivereth the poor in his affliction and openeth their ears in oppression. So you can see here that the poor are in affliction and oppression. And what does God promise here? He delivers them and he opens their ears in oppression so they can hear his voice. They can hear about his way. They can hear the gospel, praise the Lord. So, God, you know, there are people who are in a very poor state because they've allowed the curse into their life. for example, today I heard of a person who he gets lots of money into his income, but it's like he's got a pocket with holes. Like he's being taken to court to get $4,000 stripped off him and all that type of thing. So a lot of those type of cases is not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. It's that the curse is in their life. Okay. Now what you'll find is when you live in the blessing and prosperity, God will preserve you. God will preserve you from all types of things such as accidents and theft and so on. God will preserve you, but you've got to believe that he delivers the poor in his affliction and opens their ears in oppression. Why do they need to have their ears open? Well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, doesn't it? So they need to have faith. They need to have faith and look to the Lord who supplies. And you know what the Bible says, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So if you're needy, God must be your supply. You've got to look to the Lord. And look at Psalm 34 verse 6. Psalm 34 verse 6. We've been talking about the gospel being preached to the poor. We've been talking about the poor need to look to the Lord. But we know that many people right across this planet are not looking to the Lord at this stage. So there has to be a great change. There has to be a great change if there's going to be people coming out of poverty and into blessing and into prosperity. Psalm 34 verse 6. Notice what it says here. Psalm 34 verse 6. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Notice the poor man cried. They cried out to the Lord. And the Lord heard him. And you can see here, he took him out of all his troubles. All his troubles. Not just some of them, but all his troubles. So saved him out of all his troubles. So we can see in salvation, very clearly, God can take the poor man out of all his troubles. We have to be people that believe this if we are to go forward in this. Otherwise, we can be people that are like that man I mentioned before, who it seems as though he's got holes in his pockets and holes in his life and so on. And he seems to go from one destructive event to another. We'll see. As I said, that's not a coincidence. That's because the curse or the devourer is in his life. In fact, we know the scripture very clearly. We won't turn to it tonight because we don't have time. But in the book of Malachi, it talks about those who aren't tithing, that the devourer is in their life. Well, you see, that is not a coincidence. It's because the tithe is the Lord's, and you have to honour the Lord in that. And that's one of the blessings of the tithe, is it stops the devourer from devouring, the things that are in your life. Praise the Lord. It also opens up the windows of heaven and waters your crops, so to speak. Well, I just want to talk about one last area, and we'll go into more detail when I speak about this area in the future. And that's the area, are the poor to give? Does the Lord say, look, you're too poor to give, don't give? Is that what the Lord says? Well, you'll find there's many, many scriptures that say the poor should give. Why? Because if a poor person in the Lord, by faith, gives something, then the Lord can use that as a seed. He can use that by their obedience. We'll just look at a couple of scriptures and we'll finish tonight. Exodus 30, verse 15. Exodus 30, verse 15. You see, someone might be unemployed in our society, and I've heard people, Christians, say, "Ah, you don't have to give. You shouldn't tithe. You're too poor." Well, see, that's the worst type of advice you can give. It's not only the worst type of advice, it's also not biblical. Exodus 30, verse 15 tells us very clearly that God does expect the poor to give. In our society, we often think of those who are unemployed as being some of the poorest that we have, but we know that the Lord can take them out of all of that and deliver them. We're looking at Exodus 30. Verse 15, and notice what it says here. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than half a shekel, when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. So you can see here that the Lord put into place that the poor were to give. They weren't to give below a certain amount, he's saying here. And so the Lord's very clear here that he wasn't saying for the poor not to give. And one last example in Luke 21, verses 1 to 4. And we've seen this one many times before. Luke 21, verses 1 to 4. But you'll notice that Jesus never rebuked this poor widow from giving. But in fact, he commended her. He commended her. Luke 21, starting from verse 1, he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. It's a very small amount. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury, which is absolute poverty, hath cast in all the living that she had. Now, he didn't rush up to that poor widow and say, look, don't you put that in. Don't put it in because you're too poor to do that. Now, Jesus never gave that type of word to anyone. Here he's commending her. She cast in all the living that she had. Now, he said that she gave more than all of them. So percentage-wise, she gave all, which was 100%. So you can see that Jesus is looking on the heart, obviously, of people that are poor. He's looking on the heart and he's saying, okay, are you looking to the Lord or are you looking to other sources? As I said before, one of the big problems amongst those who are poor is that they're looking at the wrong sources. And they may have some relief for some time, but in fact, it's like a band-aid solution. The proper solution is that the gospel is preached to the poor. Blessed be the poor, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Yours is the kingdom of God. That's where the blessing is, that's where the deliverance is, that's where the prosperity is. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful salvation that you provided through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that Jesus is our Saviour. And Father, we thank you that Jesus became a curse for us. Lord, we believe that we are saved from all our troubles, that our life is redeemed from destruction, which includes poverty. And Father, help us to rise up in our faith in this area, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let me encourage you to start believing the Lord in this whole area. I'll be talking more and building up our faith in this area of prosperity, just as we've been building up, or helping to build up your faith in the healing and health area as well. We're going to have a finishing chorus.